The Lord's Prayer, Chapter 75, How to Pray. The Bible contains a great deal more on the subject of prayer than is found in the verses constituting this lesson. For to know how to pray is to know how to live the Christian life. Space does not allow anything like a detailed consideration even of these verses, much less a study of the others bearing on the subject. But we may refer to some of them that the student may read them in connection with the lesson. Read especially, he who makes these scriptures his own need never lack any good thing. Public prayer. And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Here we are told that we should not pray as do the hypocrites, in public places to be seen of men, but should pray to God in secret. That this is not a prohibition of all prayer in public is evident from the example of our Lord himself. The 17th chapter of John is the prayer of Jesus in the presence of his disciples, just before his arrest. In the 11th chapter of John we read his prayer at the grave of Lazarus, in the presence of his disciples and a multitude of the Jews. We have two notes of public prayers of Christ. The 8th chapter of 1 Kings contains the prayer of Solomon at the dedication of the temple, in the presence of thousands. Elijah prayed in the presence of 150 prophets of Baal for all Israel, including the king, and the Lord answered the prayer in a remarkable manner. Paul prayed with the elders of Ephesus, and with the church at Tyre, together with his traveling companions on the seashore. The gist of the exhortation lies in the statement that the hypocrites pray to be seen of men, and that in the notice and the applause of men, they get all that they pray for. God is in secret, and he sees in secret. Now, while it is true that men ought literally to go alone into secluded places to pray, it is not always absolutely necessary that one should be physically alone in order to pray in secret. By the blood of Jesus we have boldness to enter into the holiest of all, even into God's inner sanctuary. And not only may we occasionally enter in, but it is our privilege to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He who has this knowledge of God may be alone with the Lord in the presence of thousands. The true prayer, therefore, is that which the petitioner loses himself in the thought of God, and prays from the heart to him who sees the heart. Such a prayer, although uttered in the hearing of people, is not directed to them, but nevertheless the hearers may be greatly strengthened by hearing a man talking with God by the aid of the Spirit. Obedience to the exhortation. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory would shut off anything like making an exhibition in prayer. Ostentation and display have no place in the worship of God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Unnecessary words, long prayers. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. God is our Father, we are his children. His care for us, his solicitude for our welfare, and his ability to do all that his love conceives, are as much greater than the care and oversight of any earthly parent, as God is greater than man. It is the duty of a parent to provide for his children. Provide means to see before, to look after beforehand. If parents did not think about food and clothing for their children before their children remind them of their need, the children would starve and freeze. When hunger makes the child conscious of its need of food, it finds that the parent has thought of it long before, and has provided for its wants. Now it would be folly and affectation for the child to make a long, flowery speech, in asking for food, and to multiply words for the purpose of making the request in as many ways as possible, so as to impress the parent with a sense of its need, when the parent already has the things that he needs ready to give him. Such a course would indeed be most disrespectful to the parent. How much more so, then, to act in the same way toward God, who is the loving Father of all, the universal provider. Long prayers find no warrant in the Bible. The longest prayer on record is that of Solomon at the dedication of the temple. That was a great occasion, and the prayer was very comprehensive, yet it can be read slowly in 6 minutes. The prayer of Jesus in John May 17th be read with deliberation in 4 minutes. Of the other prayers recorded in the Bible, including the Lord's Prayer, none of them would occupy a whole minute. contrast Elijah's prayer with those of the prophets of Baal. They prayed from morning till evening, saying, "O Baal, hear us," and leaped and cut themselves, with of course no result. Elijah quietly addressed the Lord in a prayer less than half a minute long, and fire came down and consumed the sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones of the altar, and the water that was in the trench. The heathen gods cannot hear. Therefore those who trust them, not getting any response when they pray, must needs vociferate and multiply their words. But why should the servants of the living God give the impression by their prayers that he is like the gods of the heathen? Prayer is not for the purpose of making God acquainted with our needs, not to make him willing to give, for he knows what we need before we ask him, and has prepared the gifts for us. We come to him only in response to his call. Therefore, true prayer is simply the manifestation and expression of our willingness to receive the good things that come down from the Father of lights. God is not like the unjust judge, so that he needs to be nagged into granting our requests, but he assures us that he will do us justice speedily. It is because of this readiness on the part of God to hear that his servants cry day and night unto him. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. We do indeed read that Jesus on more than one occasion spent the entire night in prayer, but it was by himself, and not in company with others. When men get something of the acquaintance with the Father that he had, they also will delight to hold long conversations with him alone, as friend with friend. But for one to pray all night just because the Lord did, without the Spirit that led him to do it, would be mockery. Not only is it not necessary to use repetitions in asking for anything, but it is not necessary to multiply words in order to ask for the many, many things that we need. This is shown in the model prayer before us, which includes every possible want of man. We cannot go into a detailed study of the separate petitions in this prayer. If we should attempt to analyze them, we could not exhaust them, for they are infinite. We shall best arrive at an understanding of this prayer by reverently praying it, and by carefully studying the word. In short, when we pray, it is necessary for us to remember the commandment, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." Men can take the name of God in vain in other things than profane swearing. Any unnecessary repetition of that glorious and fearful name is the taking of it in vain. To ask for unnecessary things is to take it in vain. To pray without faith is also to take the name of God in vain. Remember that God is, he knows, he cares, and he is almighty, and that he has already given us all things. Then study his will, and in the simple directness of faith make your requests to God with thanksgiving. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God is in heaven, and you upon earth, therefore let your words be few. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Be still, and know that I am God.